you have your Bibles with you, turn with me, please, to 2 Corinthians 1, 3 to 11. I want to talk to you about the God of comfort. Now, you probably have noticed throughout these last month, a lot of our messages have been kind of along those lines, and that hasn't been planned by us. That just happened to be that the Lord would direct us to hit on those areas that God is wanting to comfort us. And, you know, just this morning, I heard of three deaths, other problems and situations that are going on where the God of comfort is needed. A lot of things are happening in our world, and we have a God that's concerned about our world. So we're going to look at that, 2 Corinthians 1, 3 to 11. It says, "All praise to God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. God is our merciful Father and the source of all comfort. He comforts us in all our troubles so that we can comfort others. When they are troubled, we will be able to give them the same comfort God has given us. For the more we suffer for Christ, the more God will shower us with his comfort through Christ. Even when we're weighed down with troubles, it is for your comfort and salvation. For when we ourselves are comforted, we will certainly comfort you. Then you can patiently endure the same things we suffer. We are confident that as you share in our sufferings, you will also share in the comfort God gives us. We think you ought to know, dear brothers and sisters, about the trouble we went through in the province of Asia. We were crushed and overwhelmed beyond our ability to endure, and we thought we would never live through it. In fact, we expected to die. But as a result, we stopped relying on ourselves and learned to rely only on God, who raises the dead. And he did rescue us from mortal danger, and he will rescue us again. We have placed our confidence in him, and he will continue to rescue us. And you are helping us by praying for us. Then many people will give thanks because God has graciously answered so many prayers for our safety. Father, may you empower your word into our hearts and into our minds and into our understanding. I pray that, Lord, that you would minister by your Holy Spirit today and touch every heart, Lord, that is in need of comfort today from you. I pray that, Lord, that there would be visible manifestations of your presence in their lives. I pray that, Lord, there would be divine encounters from above, that, Lord, would minister and help them through this season where they are needing comfort. In Jesus' name, amen. It's caused me to wonder a lot over these past months of so many things that are happening to people, not just in our own congregation, but in our community, our families, and around us, where we're needing the comfort of Almighty God. And God is interested in us. God is wanting to help us. God cares about us and really wants to get that message across to us, I think, in a very strong way, especially after this past month or so of messages, that God is here and he wants to comfort us. Now, the word comfort means a state of physical or mental ease. It means freedom from pain or worry, or an act of consoling during times of sadness. And as a verb, it means to soothe or make someone feel better in distress, giving them relief and hope when they are sad or grieving. And that's what I feel God is wanting to do among us, to bring us to a place of freedom from the pain and worry that maybe is coming against you at this time, consoling you. Maybe you're experiencing loss, and that the Lord would console you, bringing peace, bringing mental ease, soothing us from all the things that may be bothering us or affecting us. Now, the way this message came to me was in a very unusual way, in a way that has never happened to me before. It was in the middle of me as I was giving a message at a funeral, of all things. And as I was reading this passage of Scripture in my message, it was just like the Lord took a light and put it right on that passage and just kind of opened my eyes to and ears to that there's a message here that I'm to comfort the people that were there, but also a message that I was to deliver to our church. And it was quite an unusual thing, and not something I would necessarily look forward to when I'm in the middle of a message to start thinking, you know, on another message as you're preaching one message. Like, I can get a message when I hear others preach, but not get a message when I'm preaching myself. And that's what was happening in that day when I was doing that funeral. And so it was kind of an interesting thing. And so for the next 2 weeks, that's been on my mind over and over and over and over again, that God was wanting to comfort his people, and that I was to share a message of comfort to you. And I know that, you know, there's maybe some folks here that have been going through some very difficult situations or trying times. But I also believe there's some people that have been watching us online. And maybe you're joining us today and you've been really going through a terrible time, a very difficult time. And you've been wondering, well, where is God in all of this? Is God available? Will God comfort me? And the message I give to you is that, yes, God will bring comfort to you. Now, I know we all deal with comfort differently. During times of difficulty, or stress, or trouble, all affects us differently. Some people, when we go through things that are difficult, can bring us to be very emotional. We can be weeping, we can be crying, we can be very down on ourselves. Sometimes we can be in the other side where we become very upset and we become critical and we start, you know, lashing out to the people around us and complaining. Other times people can go to addictive things to help soothe their pain. Other times we can look to activities, get ourselves busy and try to do a whole bunch of things, trying to occupy our minds so that we're not thinking about the problems that we're going through. And so there's all kinds of ways that we sometimes look to help ourselves, that we might experience some comfort or that we might feel some ease over going through some tough things. But what God wants you to know today is that he is the best choice. They can choose many ways, and you can do that if they're helpful to you, but God is wanting you to look to him because he is the best choice, and he is the one that really can comfort us in ways that no one else can. Now, for most times, and maybe not most times, but a lot of times we sometimes go to all these other areas that we're used to, you know, do certain things that kind of help us cope, help us, you know, to comfort ourselves when we go through difficult times. And we all kind of have some of those things. But again, God is wanting us to know that he needs to be the one that we should go to, that we need to surrender those things to him. And he's the one that wants to help us, to bless us, to encourage us, to comfort us. And so we need to, you know, be looking to the Lord because he wants us to be the coping mechanism. Because sometimes, you know, we have all these other coping mechanisms that we have in our lives when God's saying, I want to be that. I want to be that for you. I want to help you in those areas. And so when you're needing comfort, God is wanting you to know he is there and he will help you and he will see you through. Now, I know we don't always necessarily look to the Lord first, and kind of depending on circumstances that we're going through as well. As we say, sometimes worry gets to us. Sometimes we panic a little bit. Sometimes we get to a place where we actually feel overwhelmed and can even get to that place where we lose hope. But before we start, you know, looking at that area and thinking, yeah, well, that's where I'm at today, Pastor, I kind of feel like just given up. I'm just exhausted. I'm just tired of all that I'm going through, and I'm kind of at my wit's end. And friend, I want to encourage you, again, look to the Lord. Now, I realize also that sometimes the devil can put us through a guilt trip because you say, yes, see, you're feeling this way because you haven't been looking to the Lord and you haven't been calling on me. And the devil likes to do that too. See, he likes to condemn us. You know, God doesn't want to condemn us. You know, he wants to help us. He wants to encourage us. And, you know, the Apostle Paul himself, he struggled in those areas too. And we certainly wouldn't refer to the Apostle Paul as someone who was unspiritual. But yet, he too went through times of trouble where he really was at his wit's end. He didn't, you know if he's going to get out of these problems or not. Verse 2 Corinthians 1:8 tells us that. It says, "We think you ought to know, dear brothers and sisters, about the trouble we went through in the province of Asia. We were crushed, overwhelmed, beyond our ability to endure, and we thought we would never live through it." So even the Apostle Paul got to that place spiritually where he was just at his wit's end, that I don't know what else to do, God. I'm just totally overwhelmed. And maybe you're here today, or maybe you're watching online today and you're saying, that's where I'm at. I just feel like I'm overwhelmed and I'm beyond my ability to endure. And maybe even to the place that you're thinking, I don't know if I can even live through this, of what I'm going through right now. And so those are some of the things that, you know, can happen to us when we go through trials, when we go through situations, circumstances, troubles. Sometimes we can feel that we are at the max as far as coping is concerned, that we're at our wit's end, and that, you know, there's no resolution, and we're really kind of feeling that we're overwhelmed beyond our ability to endure. But again, that's where we need to look to the Lord. Don't walk away from the Lord, walk to the Lord. And that's what the Apostle Paul did. Notice what he says in those verses as soon as he talks about how overwhelmed they were. He says in verses 9 and 10 of 2 Corinthians 1, he says, "In fact, we expected to die." So I think like they were at the very end of the end. But he says, "But as a result, we stopped relying on ourselves and learn to rely only on God who raises the dead." And there's a big one right there. A lot of times we're just relying on ourselves, what we can do, where our understanding is. And we kind of, you know, settle for that. Where sometimes God said, "You need to release it and give it to me." And that's what they did. And he goes on to testify that he did rescue us from mortal danger, and he will rescue us again. We have placed our confidence in him, and he will continue to rescue us. So the Apostle Paul, he stopped relying on all the things that he could do. And I know, you know, it's good to be proactive, do everything you can in the natural. But sometimes when things are really, really bad, you got to kind of step back and look to the Lord and rely on him and say, "God, I give it in your hands now. There's nothing more I can do, so I am going to trust you that you're going to work this situation out. You're going to work this problem out, because I've done everything I can in the natural, so I'm now going to give it to you and rely on what you're going to do." And God will make a way where there seems to be no way. That's who he is. And so maybe this morning God may be talking to you about surrendering your situation to him, and putting your confidence again on the Lord, that he is able to help you in your time of need, and that he is your answer that you need right now. You know, as we look at our world today, man, there's just so many things happening in our world that are really out of control. And we're kind of wondering, like, what's going to happen? What's going to take place? And, you know, there's all that, you know, questions that are going on out there in our world. But I think God is wanting to remind us to say, "I am your God of comfort." Do not get all worried and upset and all stressed out with all the things that are happening in the world, because I am your God of comfort, and I will watch over you. I will see you through. And I believe that's what God is really wanting to get that message across to us today, that he will comfort us no matter what happens, no matter what comes our way, no matter what takes place in our world. We still serve a God who says, "I will comfort you." And so this morning, I just want to take a fresh look at this passage. And I believe there are some things there that God is wanting to say to us and help us in this whole area of comfort. And the first thing God wants to remind us of from this passage about comfort is that God is our merciful Father. So when it comes to comfort, our Heavenly Father, he's merciful. In other words, he will treat us far better than what we deserve. 2 Corinthians 1:3, "All praise to God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. God is our merciful Father. And I like that. See, God's reminding us that He's a good Father. And a Father that is very merciful towards us. He will bless us and show favor upon us, even though we don't deserve it. Even when we've looked to all these other areas and done everything we can in the natural, and we kind of ignored God, not purposely, but we just kind of got caught up in all the things and tried to work it all out in our own strength and our own minds. He's still a merciful Father. So you say, it's okay. I'm still going to help you. I'm still going to respond to you. Maybe there's things that you've done or things you know you haven't been pleasing to God. But now that as you're coming to Him, He welcomes you. He's not there to condemn you and say, what took you so long? He's there to say, I want to help you. I want to help you. And He will reach out to us and He will comfort us. Whether we messed up or not, we need to have a fresh understanding. We serve a merciful and a loving God. Psalm 103 is a great passage when it kind of reminds us of that mercy and it tells us about our God. Psalm 103, the whole passage is a beautiful passage, but we'll just read a few verses of that. Verse 8, 10, 13 says, the Lord is compassionate and merciful, slow to get angry, filled with unfailing love. Verse 10, He does not punish us as our sins deserve. He does not deal harshly with us as we deserve. And then 13, the Lord is like a father to His children, tender and compassionate to those who fear Him. That's our God. We have a loving God, a loving Father who loves us, cares about us, is merciful towards us. And so as we cry out for comfort, He is ready to give that comfort to us and treat us far better than what we deserve. You know, sometimes because of our situations and because of things maybe that we've done, maybe because, well, we didn't have as great a faith as we thought we did, we kind of think, oh, well, I don't know if God's going to respond to me. Yes, He will. Why? Because He's a merciful Father and He loves to give good things to His people. So it's not too late to look for our merciful Heavenly Father to give us the comfort that we need. In fact, He's inviting us to look to Him afresh today as a good Father, a Father that is merciful, treating us better than what we deserve. Then second, in this area of comfort, God is wanting to remind us that He is the source of all comfort. See, there's no one better or more qualified to bring you the exact comfort that you need. God knows us. He made us. He knows everything about us. And He knows how to comfort us exactly the way that we ourselves will receive comfort. Verses 3 and 4 of 2 Corinthians 1. All praise to God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. God is our merciful Father and the source of all comfort. He comforts us in all our troubles. And again, it's a beautiful reminder that our God is the source of comfort. He is the supreme source of comfort. There's no greater comfort that you can get in this whole world than the comfort that you can receive from God. He is the origin of comfort. He is the originator of comfort. He is our creator who made us, and He knows exactly how to comfort us best. And He tells us, I will comfort you in all of your troubles. In other words, in every area of life out there that we face, God is saying, I am here to comfort you. I will help you. So His comfort is complete. It's without exception and can comfort us no matter the situation that we are facing. He is a true source of comfort. And we need to remind ourselves of that, that if you really want comfort, there's a supreme comfort and there's the comfort that everyone else can offer you. You can choose which one you want to go to, but God's saying, why don't you come to me? Because I am the true source of all comfort to you. I think of Psalm 23, the shepherd's song, and God speaking to us, showing us His character and how He cares about us and loves us. I like verse 4. It says, even when I walk through the darkest valley, I will not be afraid, for you are close beside me. Your rod and your staff protect and comfort me. He's there. He's there for us. In regards to comfort, the scriptures also speak of Jesus comforting us, promising to be with us. Before he ascended, he reminded of that passage of scripture, "Lo, I'm with you always, even to the ends of the world." I'm with you always. I will not leave you. I'm with you. And I love one of the passages that Jesus spoke when he was in the temple and they gave him the book, the Bible at that time. And he read a passage of this referring to himself. And he referred to an Old Testament passage out of Isaiah, again, to describe who he is. And we see that in Isaiah 61:1 was the passage of scripture that he spoke. He said, "The Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is upon me, for the Lord has anointed me to bring good news to the poor. He has sent me to comfort the brokenhearted and to proclaim that captives will be released and prisoners will be free." So you're here today and you're brokenhearted. That's one of the reasons Jesus came, to heal the brokenhearted. He wants to touch us. He wants to minister to us. And if that's not enough, God has also sent the Holy Spirit to comfort us. I like the King James rendering for this passage of Scripture, John 14:16-18. And it says, "I will pray the Father, and he will give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him. But ye know him, for he dwelleth with you, and shall be in you. I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you." That's God's plan for your life. He desires to comfort you. He will not leave you. He will comfort you. So when you kind of think of that, you know, Father, Son, Holy Spirit, obviously comfort is something that's important to God that he mentioned in all those areas of the Father, Son, of the whole Godhead, speaking of the importance of comfort. So we need to realize that, yes, our God is the God of all comfort. He really is. He's the expert. He's got us covered, and he's fully able to help us in all our troubles. No matter what we go through in life, he's telling us, "I'm the one that is able to help you and to comfort you through all those situations and troubles that you go through in your life. I am the comforter." Then thirdly, in the area of comfort, God is also wanting to remind us that he uses people just like us to comfort others. See, we're part of the comfort plan of God. I hope you realize that. So it's not just totally always looking to God to comfort, but also to look to his people. Because God has given people from all different walks of life, has put them into a body where we can come and we can receive comfort from one another. 2 Corinthians 1:4. He says he comforts us in all of our troubles so that we can comfort others. When they are troubled, we'll be able to give them the same comfort God has given us. So we're to be extensions of what God is wanting to do in our world. We're also to be a people of comfort that offer comfort to one another, so that when others are going through difficulties and troubles, you know, we really need to be there for one another, to comfort one another, to help one another. You know, to me, that's why the body of Christ is so important, because ministry and comfort can be found in a local body of Christ. And that's an important thing. I know as a pastor, I try to pay attention to what people have gone through and their testimonies, so that when I hear of a person that is going through a certain situation, and you know, they like to say, "Well, Pastor, you wouldn't understand because you know you've never gone through this," and I can say, "You're right. I can't fully understand, but I can point you to a person that understands because they went through what you're going through right now." And that's the wonderful thing about the body of Christ, that we're all ministers here in this place, and we can minister to one another. We can encourage one another. We can lift one another up. We can comfort one another. And that's an important thing. We're blessed in this congregation I think from all the testimonies I've heard in this church, I think we got life pretty much covered in this church. It seems that people have gone through things in life, sometimes even beyond what I imagine. You've come through it, and God has helped you. And if you're going through a situation where you think, oh, no one would understand me, I guarantee you I can find someone in this congregation that's been where you are, and they can help you. They can help bring comfort to you as well as they've experienced the comfort from God. So I'm very thankful for the body of Christ. I'm thankful for the ministry of the body of Christ. So, you know, let us not forsake the assembling of ourselves together. And sadly, that so often happens. We go through a tough time, and the place where we can receive comfort, we avoid it. We're going to stay home. Oh, I don't want to be in church. I don't want people asking. I don't want... Listen, this is the place where you're going to receive comfort. Don't avoid it. Come here because there's comfort. There's ministry. There's help. There's encouragement right here in the body of Christ. And speaking of what's happening in our world and all the things that are going on, all the uncertainties that are happening in our world, Bible again is telling us, listen, the place you need to be is be with your fellow Christians. Hebrews 10:25, and let us not neglect our meeting together as some people do, but encourage one another, especially now that the day of his return is drawing near. We need one another. We need the ministry of the body of Christ, and we need to minister to one another. We need to tell our stories and minister to each one. And if you're feeling that, you know, well, I don't know if you would understand. Again, I guarantee you, I can point you to somebody who does, who's walked in the shoes that you've walked in, and God has brought them through. And, you know, it goes on here as well, talking about that comfort that we can have. Sometimes, you know, if you grew up like me, I grew up pretty much, you know, in the church. That's my life story. I grew up there. I stayed in the church. I stayed faithful to God. I served him all the days of my life. But that's not everybody's story. So sometimes you can kind of feel, I don't know if I can really help some people because, you know, I've never did some of those other things or got trapped in some of those other things. Well, there's another area that the Apostle Paul's talking here about comfort, and he says that's prayer. If you feel that, you know, you don't have the words to help somebody or you don't think that you can comfort somebody, pray for them. Pray for them. Pray for them. And that's what Paul says here, 2 Corinthians 1:11. He says, and you are helping us by praying for us. Then many people will give thanks because God has graciously answered so many prayers for our safety. So there's comfort in the body of Christ. There's comfort as we get to learn and to know, you know what, somebody's praying for me. Somebody's praying for me. A person came to me today and said, you know what, I'm praying for you today. Man, that can be a big encouragement to somebody. You know, if God impresses you or a name comes to you that, you know, you're to pray, that's not just a quick thought that's going to your head. That's God talking to you and saying, hey, pray for this person today. Maybe give them a call. Maybe give them a text. Just to let them know that you're praying for them. You want to encourage them. And so, again, this is important for us. We as the body of Christ are to comfort one another. Even in that funeral that day, as that passage of scripture was becoming more alive to me, and that's what the Bible is. You read the scriptures, they're God breathed. So God breathes upon that word and makes it jump out at you. That's one of the blessings of reading God's word, that you can be just reading along and sometimes things are going in, sometimes things aren't. Sometimes you can read a chapter and say, what did I just read? Nothing went in. And then other times you can read the Bible and it's just like, boom. There's a message that just hits you, and that's what God does through his word, and that's a wonderful thing. But as that happened to me that day, I realized, see all these people in front of you? You got a job. Comfort them. Comfort them. To you today, I have a job to comfort you. But you know as well, you have a job to comfort others as well. That knowing situations or circumstances that people are going through, you have a God-ordained job and a calling from God to comfort others. That's what we're called to do. So as God has comforted us through troubles, we're to comfort others when they go through troubles. And that's an ordained God calling for all of us. And he wants to remind us of that today, that we're all to be his comforters in our world. Then lastly, in this area of comfort, I believe God wants to remind us that he's a God who answers our prayers and responds to our cries of comfort. 2 Corinthians 1, 10 and 11, it says, "And he did rescue us from mortal danger, and he will rescue us again. We have placed our confidence in him, and he will continue to rescue us. And you are helping us by praying for us. Then many people will give thanks because God has graciously answered so many prayers for your safety." You know, when we go through trials and troubles, suffering, come to that place where maybe we feel defeated, maybe we feel overwhelmed, maybe we feel crushed, maybe we even feel that we're beyond our ability to endure, God is there waiting for us to call on him, and he will help us. He will strengthen us. He will give us a new testimony. And as we renew our trust in him and place our confidence in him and get to that place where we kind of say, okay, God, I've done everything I possibly could do. Okay, God, I'm giving it to you. I'm giving it to you today. I'm just going to rely on you that you're going to have to work this out because there's nothing more I can do in the natural. That's where he wants us to be, to give it to him, to begin to rely on him. Proverbs 3, 5 and 6 says, "Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Do not depend on your own understanding. Seek his will in all you do, and he will show you which path to take." God will come through for you. God will respond as we call out to him and place our faith and our trust in him. And just as we see in this passage of scripture, you know, God's wanting us to trust him, to rely upon him, to get that place, say, okay, God, I'm giving it to you today. I'm not going to take it back today, but I'm going to give it to you today. And it's going to help us to reach a whole new level of faith, that something good will come out of it. And that's, of course, what happened for the Apostle Paul, that good things started to happen after he committed it to the Lord, after they began to rely on the God, all of a sudden, miracles started taking place. They got delivered. They got rescued. They get out of the storm that they were in. They get out of the danger that they were in. And that's what God does. He is our rescuer. He is our deliverer. He is fully able to rescue us and comfort us in our troubles. We just need to look to him. Look to him. I want to read again some portions from Psalm 23. Again, God's heart towards us. It says, "Even when I walk through the darkest valley," verse 4, Psalm 23, "I will not be afraid, for you are close beside me. Your rod, your staff protect and comfort me. You prepare a feast for me in the presence of my enemies. You honor me by anointing my head with oil. My cup overflows with blessings. Surely your goodness and unfailing love will pursue me all the days of my life, and I will live in the house of the Lord forever." The Lord is with you, and he will respond. He will answer those cries for comfort that you're needing today. So as we conclude here this morning, I obviously don't know everything that's going on in everybody's life and what trials or burdens or grief, fear, or pain that you may be experiencing. I know when God was speaking to me as I was doing that message and that portion, this portion of scripture, I just read these verses. I wasn't really speaking on that particular verse. And as God began to speak into my own heart and life, I began kind of wondering, I said, God, are people really going through a lot of these difficult things? Are people really getting overwhelmed with some of the problems and difficulties that are coming against them? I even asked, Lord, are you trying to prepare us for what's coming ahead? Is there not good things coming in the future that you're wanting to prepare us so that we would rely on you and that we would trust you? I never really got an answer to that, but I was asking those kinds of questions. But his grace, his strength, his comfort is more than enough. No matter what we face, no matter what we're going through, he is more than enough. We just need to rely on Him and trust Him. And so this morning as we close, maybe you are going through something, whether you're watching online or whether you're here in person, and you're needing comfort today, you're in the right place. Because God wants to comfort you. He wants you to know that He desires to comfort you. And for some of you, it might be a thing today where these problems that you've been going through, that you're just going to have to say, okay, God, here it is. I'm going to rely on you. I'm going to give it to you. And I'm going to walk out of this house believing that you're going to take care of this now. I've done everything that I can do. And so, Lord, I'm going to trust you that you will do what only you can do, and that you will bring about a testimony for me out of this situation, that circumstance. I was thinking what we've done some years back. I was thinking of that cross outside. I maybe should have grabbed it this morning and brought it to the front. And sometimes a little practice that we used to do was we'd write on there what that problem was, and we would bring it to the cross, and we'd nail it to the cross. Which is basically saying, I'm not taking it back with me. Maybe you need to come to the altar this morning as we close and give that to God, that situation, that circumstance, that problem, that difficulty, and just say to God, God, I'm here at this altar because I'm not bringing this home with me anymore. I'm going to leave it with you, and God, I know you're going to work it out. I don't know how, but I know you'll work it out. And so I'm going to leave it at the altar today. And as I walk out of this place, I'm going to trust you. I'm going to rely on you that you're going to make things good. I close mentioning one other scripture. It's a benediction that was given in one of the writings of the Apostle Paul. 2 Thessalonians 2:16 to 17 says this, "Now may our Lord Jesus Christ himself and God our Father, who loved us and by his grace gave us eternal comfort and a wonderful hope, comfort you and strengthen you and every good thing you do and say." So may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his favor shine upon you today and grant you peace in Jesus' name. Father, I thank you that you've been speaking to us of late about comfort. And Lord, I know there's lots of things that go on in our world and lots of things in life that we face that are things that we don't welcome that happen. But I thank you that, Lord, even in troubles, even in hardship, even in times where we get overwhelmed and feel there's nothing more we can do, that you're there. You're there. And Lord, I know at times it's kind of hard to say, okay, I trust you, God, and it's kind of hard for us sometimes to bring it to you and just leave it with you and then move on. Well, I pray today, God, that you're going to give us strength to do that. That, Lord, that we'll come to a new place of faith, that we'll be able to rely on you and trust you, that you will work it out for our good. That you will work out this situation, this circumstance for our good. And that you will bring about a testimony out of this trial in Jesus' name. So I pray, Lord, today may the comfort of God be upon your people. I pray that, Lord, each person would sense a new comfort in their lives. I pray that, Lord, a new encounter, Lord, would come. I thank you that, Lord, that you have been giving people visions. You've been giving them dreams. You've been giving them encounters. Or, Lord, even things just for the word of God becomes highlighted out of a whole portion of scripture. Lord, you're wanting to speak to us. You're wanting to help us. You're wanting to comfort us. And I pray that you would comfort your people today. In Jesus' name, amen.